So I thought it's interesting to end off the year with, I'd say, is a very interesting topic, which is, that's 1 week at a time. We'll see this in Mishmar next week. So this question is what? Anyway, so the question is I think the right way to phrase it is the Rambam's position on getting paid to learn Torah. Okay, and the reason why I say that is because the Rambam had his position, and many it's interesting they attacked the Rambam's position. But what's very interesting about the whole area is how do you tease out what the actual issue is? In other words, the Rambam clearly has a problem, and he's not even clear about what the problem is. I don't know if you went through it. He doesn't actually tell you what the issue is. He just tells you what you can't do halakhically, and he has like all these rayas, right? And then the arguments against the Rambam usually attack his rayas. That's most of it. Most of the attacks on the Rambam are, you know, your history's wrong, you know, this proof is wrong, that proof is wrong, you can learn this proof that way, etc. And it's very interesting that some of the arguments, we have to evaluate the arguments for the time. We'll see evaluate some of the arguments if they're valid or not, and what are the strengths and weaknesses of the Rambam's position. That's also interesting. The Rambam spends a lot of time, a lot of real estate on trying to justify his position, and there are some issues we have to take up. So we'll see. We'll see what the Rambam held, and we'll see what we think about it. We'll see as we go through it. All right. So first, we start on the Yad. So the Yad is Hilchos Tamat Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud.
Yeah. All right. Kol Amitzim Alivo Shiyasov B'Torah Vilo Yasev L'Achav Yitarnes.
Stop. Okay. So let's divide that up into ways. What should we divide it up?
Anyone who places upon his heart to.
Well, stop. What's Mesim Alibo?
Thanks.
It sounds like he's making a decision.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
I asked
it. What? Right. It sounds like he's like, no, it's not just like haphazard. It means that he's Kovea, right? He says, this is the path I'm choosing. That what's the path he wants to do? He wants to be Yasa Gutara.
Not do Malacha.
No, okay, now 1 second. No, so I put the comma after Yasa Gutara. In other words, what is he going to do? His decision is to be involved in Torah, which is fine. But he's also deciding to do what?
Not do Malacha.
Now, when he says Malacha here, he means?
Job.
And, okay, so it sounds like there's three things here. First is, he's making a decision. What's a decision? He's going to be involved in Torah, right? He will not work, right? And in not working, what will he do? Okay, which now, at this point, obviously this is right in the beginning, but that wouldn't seem to imply, if you just around him at his word, that if a person said, I'm going to be involved in Torah, not to work, because I got the lottery, right? Well, say I won the lottery. Sounds like it's fine, right? You would think that. What? Well, okay, you'll see. But right now, there's...
If you won the lottery, it wouldn't be fine.
Right. No, well, no, I know. His language is pretty severe, right? Hare's
a... Hare's a chila at Hashem, so he's mechal Hashem Shemayim. He's baza at Torah, and he disgraces the Torah. The kava maor hadas, and he extinguishes the fire of the religion. The garam ra la'atzmo, and he causes upon himself bad. The natal chayev min olam ba, and he takes away his life from... the world to come.
Okay, so it sounds like every possible bad thing that can happen to you is going to happen to you, right? I mean, it doesn't get worse than this. Okay. Now, why? Now, so what's the problem, though? This all stems from one famous problem. Lefi. Okay. So that's the issue you're partaking of, right? And there's the issue is to benefit from the Torah in this world, okay? And how are you benefiting? Because you're making money off of it. Yeah.
You mean financial benefit, right?
No. Any benefit?
Well, it's Android IP.
Hold on. You'll see. Yeah. You'll see. Okay. So, Amru Chachamim.
Amru Chachamim. Kol Hanene Medivri Torah. Not all Chayim and all.
Okay, this is problem number one. And Ve'od Sivu.
Ve'od Sivu. Ve'amru. Al Ta'ase Mataru Le'eskala Behem. Ve'lo Kardam Lach Bor Behem.
Okay. Which, so he's quoting?
He's quoting Mishnah.
Good.
You should get a crown to become great in it. Get the cover below. And not like a shovel to dig with.
Good. Now, what do you see? There's a little shift there in the last one. What's the shift?
I mean, at this point, now it's saying Ahobet Tamalacha.
Which, like, so it's implying what? Positive. Ah. So first he says, it sounds like what he's saying first is that a person should,
avoid the negative.
He's trying to avoid Malacha. But, right? But the other thing he's saying is that it happens to be there's some sort of benefit to doing Malacha. And you see that as we finish the end of the what do you call it, in the halacha.
The whole Torah shein imam halacha so from the tail of the Gorer Sabon.
Right. So it sounds like not only should a person not avoid work, but it sounds like working is a perfection.
Yeah.
Right. And then the next halacha said, Maila Gadola, he, now this is a little more specific, Lamishu Hum is Sparnas Mi Maisiyada, which means that guy, you know, when you create with your hands, right? Like when your guy like is a farmer or he labors, right? There's a certain security and enjoyment, I guess, whatever it is. The guy gets from what? Why not? I don't know. I'm saying like, there's a certain like a guy feels a certain way when he a sense of accomplishment when he works. Okay, okay, and then finally minis chasidim etc. Fine. Okay, now what's the source of this all? This all comes from Pirkei Avos. So it says in source two. Okay, fine. Okay, so we can skip Rashi for now. Let's go right into the Rambam. Now, why did I bring in? Now I brought in the Rambam on Sanhedrin. All right, why? Okay, okay. So all right. So let's. Okay, so this is the famous Rambam where he talks about how you teach Torah. There's he introduces the idea of Lola Shema, and he starts out by discussing how you teach like a child. So what happens? So he says he uses mashal, right? And he says, like, what happens? He says, let's say, like, a little kid, right? So a little kid, doesn't understand why Torah would be beneficial. If he's, let's say, a six-year-old. What's the point of learning Torah, right? Oh, he wouldn't know. So how do you get him to learn? So what is it? What's the example he gives?
Give him candy.
What?
Candy.
You give him candy, okay? Right. Candy always works. You give the kid candy. Okay, now... And what he'll do, he'll learn, but he's only learning for one reason. He's learning for the candy, right?
Yeah.
Then, when he gets older, what's the next stage? Next is clothing, which really has to do with ego and self-identity. So that's the next thing you do. Then comes money, because money's pshita. And the last one is what?
Nothing.
No, it's kavod.
Oh.
Okay? So meaning that, now it's interesting. So the Rambam is saying...
He works his way to nothing.
He doesn't. Okay? He says, what do you call it? So let's look at the second paragraph there. Vakasha, yeah, Baal Hakar Yoser, the Akmenov. You see that over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Gamdover says the money. And the money's not enough for him. He wants the next thing. The next Lulishma thing is Kabod, right? You'll see. No.
Yikabducha
b'nei Adam. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like one of the most. I've seen this Rambam a million times. Every time I read it, it's just like it always strikes me because the Rambam, who are the people that he's attacking, right, Rav Ashi? I mean, who are the people he's attacking insofar as those seeking out kavod, rabbanim and dayanim? I mean, it's an amazing thing. Like you would think politicians, right? I can understand that, or like guys becoming a big hotshot corporate attorney. No. Who are the ones that? How would you tempt the guy to learn Torah? Say, listen, what do you call it? You become like a rav or a dayan, and people will honor you, and they'll stand up for you, right?
Who respects politics?
Anyway, so what does he say? So he says, what happens? They're gonna stand up for you. Yeah, kumud v'recha, v'gdal shemecha, b'theecha. Right, your name will become great in your life. Achar moskla kumo ploni. Right. Okay. So what's going to happen? So he's going to end up learning Torah for that purpose. So again, that's the culmination. I didn't want to go through each one of the things, but that's the culmination. So it goes from candy to clothing to money to kavod. Okay, the oz yilma v'ishtadel. Keep going. So that would be his purpose, in other words, the objective that he has in learning is for that, right? For kavod and praise. Okay. Now, the Chol Zeh is referring to all the stages, not just this. All four of them. They're all not good. Okay? Why?
So it's all because people have,
simple. Like, no, like, the people are, people are like you know, this way of saying, they're like, we're Amaratsim, that's what we are, right?
And we only do things, we do limud for other purposes, right? Not for limud in and of itself. The Yomer Madua Lome Aniyatel Limud Azeh. Elik De La Hasikoa Azaya Bemes.
Right.
Vizeo Eta Chachamim Shalolishma. Gomar Shu Makayim Eta Mitzos, Voseo Tan Lomed, Umishtado.
Right. That's it. So that's the essential thing. Your involvement in Torah is not for it, but rather for something else. According to Perkei Avos, right? Okay. Meaning that now, but this is a big problem. There's a problem here.
All right. You could do it with the money originally.
Oh well, more than that. More than that. Get better. Whereas the Yad's telling you that. The Mishnah Torah is telling you it's usher. Guy can't do that. Guy can't say, you know what? I'm going to.
Here it sounds ideal.
What? Say it again.
Here it sounds ideal.
Well, it sounds no. It's not ideal. It sounds like, but it sounds like a necessary part of the process.
What do you think I meant when I said sounds like it's ideal? Which part?
Which I don't know. Which part did you say was ideal?
I meant doing it for Noah's
time. Oh, right. Exactly. Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. But here he's in the parish in Parakhelek. He seems to be more tolerant of the idea. In other words, he's saying it's part of the process. If you're going to ever get anyone into learning, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to bribe them, right? Always to be below the shema.
Not just like a worst thing that's necessary.
It seems that way.
Right.
And yet he says in the Yad, it's usher. Okay. So we have to answer that. That's the first question we have to answer. How do you resolve that tension? But we have to do the Rambam on Pirkei Avos to get a little better sense of that. But we have to answer that. Like, it seems like a tension here because here again, he's not saying it's good, but it seems necessary. It seems necessary, right? And then he says later on, look, he says, Lufishi, in the next paragraph, Lufishi yadu chacham alei mashalom. Right now, what's difficult? Doing things lishma. I mean, in the paragraph above, he explains, what's lishma? Lishma means you're doing it only for the sake of the thing itself, okay? That's a separate shir, like what that means, okay? It's very hard to understand what that is, like MS or the truth, or because it is whatever. They're very very like existential, massive terms. But that's what the Rambam's lishma is, right? Lishma means you're doing it for that and no other reason. There's no other reason why you're doing it, okay? But since people can't do it, right?
Yeah, it's very hard for people who are not able to really reach that level. Yasigenu lo yashu be'ino be'iyun rish be'iyun rishon lo yira lo shu das dushlu dea amit.
Right. Why? The Fisha Tarkosh Adam. Which is true. I mean, it's amazing. Right. And that hasn't changed. If you ask the average person, you make decisions because you want to feel happy. Right? You do it because you want to feel happy. You do things because, you don't do things because of the sake of the thing. You do it for, there's always some motive, some benefit you're searching for, or to avoid harm. That's the way we work. Okay? Right. Vim lav, hare you maisa levatala. Okay? Right. Okay. Fine. So the Rambam's clearly saying that b'di'eved, right? B'di'eved. What do? You train people in this method of lo lishma. Okay.
Right.
Now, of course, you want to get people to do lishma. That's the objective. But it certainly goes against. It seems like it goes against what the Rambam says in the Yad. Okay. Fine.
Right.
I mean, the child is
not. The Rambam's entire svara of taking money to learn is right found right over here in his parish on Pirkei Avos. Okay. Go for it, Josh.
Are we not going to
No, let's get to this, then we'll discuss.
Right.
But in this, we're going to define this as we go through this. This is where we're going to start defining things. Then we'll come back and answer the issue with the other Rama. Okay. Okay, so what does he first say?
He's referring to the idea that you shouldn't make Torah like an Atara, and that you shouldn't get Hana from it. Right? So you don't need to, I guess, explain this because it's already very clear.
Right. Well, so, you know, when the Rambam starts off this way, fasten your seatbelt. Because he's saying, like, hey, man, everyone knows this. You know what I mean? Like, it's pita. Right. By the way, I forgot. We should have asked one question. I forgot. There was one, in the Pirkei Avos, we skipped it a little too fast here. In the Pirkei Avos, okay, what question would you ask in the Mishnah? Mishnah says what? So what question should we ask on that?
I'm not sure
just want to know what question would you ask in the trade house? Simple question.
Why is the matter
of Tarot? Say it again.
You ask him why not, basically.
Why what?
Why you can't.
What's wrong with getting into the Tarot?
Okay, that's one question. I mean, what's the problem with Kabbalah? Okay, doing it for Kabbalah. But I'd say it's kind of intuitive, no? Sure. You don't think it's intuitive? I mean, I answer that pretty easily.
I mean,
but okay, fine.
That's
what Kabbalah is.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you are probably mad at this stuff, but all the mitzvahs should be done as well.
That's true. That's true. But what do we need both of these for? In other words, there must be a greater. What's the? There must be. Are they part of a cat? Are they examples? Or are they part of a category? Are they like the two? Are they two? There's Atara. There's for Kabbalah and there's for money. You know, there's what they share in common, and how they difference. I know how they're different literally. I just want to know like what's the flaw? There's a difference in each flaw or each problem. Okay. Anyway, so back to the Rambam. We'll get back to that.
Besides that, we're just kind of wondering this. How did the Rambam derive an insert from Avos?
That's a great question. I forgot to mention that. That's a great question. Very interesting question. He treats this as an issur.
We can find a Gemara in the Dharma that quotes.
Right, but you know what's interesting? But the people who attack the Rambam in general don't ask that question. But it is interesting. It is interesting that he derives an entire halacha from Pirkei Avos. That's not a normal thing. Yeah. That what? That quotes. Right. Right. I know, but like, it doesn't sound like a formalized halachic issur. It sounds like Pirkei Avos is something more like advice. But you're right. Whatever. Oh, that's a good question. See, that's not. But that's a question in the Rambam's methodology. That's not like our concern. I want to know what he's saying.
Yeah. But it's not like it's philosophy.
Calm down. I know, but it's Pirkei Avos. I know. You're very angry. Okay, go on. All right. Gvar tisi lo dar. Okay, right.
See.
I don't care. I'm going to throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, great.
So obviously, what we see happening, and this is already a problem in the Rambam, because what's happening during his time? That's got to be right.
Or at least believe in this.
Right. So when I say it's not a kasha in the Rambam, but it's pretty clear that this is becoming normalized Jewish practice, or it's a common Jewish practice, right? Again, I'm not saying whether it's mutter asur, but it's happening. And the Rambam does not seem to be too happy about it. Okay, duh.
All right, duh. Ki zet klar amar, al taset la Torah karna la korma hen, la korma, klomar al tichashva kli la parnasa. So you should not make it a kli for sustenance. Ubar va amar she komi she yahane bezeh ha'olam bekavo Torah, shu koris nafshu mechayel.
Okay, stop. So already you see there's an interesting problem there. There's two things I would ask in that, okay? Or things that you can point out. What's interesting about this statement? All right. So first of all, what's so bad about getting paid to learn?
Pretty bad.
But what? But what's so bad about it? What's the problem? Don't just say you're making klila parnasa. I understand. But why is it so problematic? And the second question is that I don't know how you missed this. He says you can't make it a kardom, which sounds like that's the halacha of getting paid to learn.
This one, and then he expounds on it and says the kavod.
It's kavod.
Seems like the atara thing.
Bingo. So it's at the very least, it sounds like the Rambam's treating them equally. Because whatever the problem with kardom is, he's saying, I mean, you have to say somehow is similar, if not synonymous, with the idea of kavod. I mean, they both partake of this idea of nana. But it is interesting that he says, the amar shkolmi shenana b'zeh olam b'kavod atara. But that's not the problem with getting paid. It's not kavod atara, it's kardom. That's a different problem. So we're going to have to answer that. Okay?
Again?
The shovel. Okay. Ve'alimu b'nei adam enayam mizol lashon agluya.
Ve'ashlichua achre gavo. Ve'natlo b'pishte ma'amarem shalom avinam. Ani amar.
It's amazing. I mean, it's like the way he writes is just like, it would never fly today. So what's he saying? He's saying that this is like so easy to see. It's obvious, right? And people are basically fooled, right? You know, they're being misled, right? And it's so simple, right? Oh, exactly. I'll take care of clarifying for them, because I know, Okay? Now, and now, but it gets worse. What happened? Betulahem.
Betulahem, Hokim al-Yachidim Balkahilos. So they place upon the masses some laws.
Right, but appreciate the language. In other words, we're not talking about like suggested advice. Rather, you're saying what? Hukim. Like, they imposed onto individuals and congregations the Asu. Right, the Chok Mechasim, right?
Yeah, they'd make the appointed ones would make these.
So they made like these taxes to pay for. Right, exactly. Right? Veviu b'nei Adam, this was Shtus Gemura. And they brought people in just to basically explain like this this Shtus.
Yeah,
now, again, also pay attention to language. What does Tzarech mean? And Mechuyav means. No. Tzarech means there's a need. Mechuyav sounds like it's a halachic requirement. In other words, not only is there a need because we have to sustain these people and their livelihood, but there's a halachic mechayav. Okay? Lazar lechachamim.
Lazar lechachamim, ulatamidim, ulanashim ha'uskim b'torah, b'torasan, umnusan.
Right. That's what we need to do. The chuzatos is all a mistake. Why?
Ein b'torah ma shiyamis otam. Below regal shiyasan ala b'shum panim.
Okay, so
nothing.
Right, now notice, he hasn't explained up to this point what the problem is. Meaning, what is the problem? Why is it so bad? And by the way, he never really does until he gets to Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon is the one thing, is the opening to try to understand what he's talking about. But right now, has he told us what the problem is? You do Rav Tarfon?
No, he did. We don't do that at all.
Oh, no, Rav Tarfon is it. That's it. Everything's Rav Tarfon.
That situation.
I know. That's You'll see. That's the crux of everything's Rav Tarfon story. It's so cool, right? It's a cool story. Anyway, yes, this is a big problem, right? So, okay, so now what's this first move? Okay, Lefish Anu.
All
right, so what's his first maneuver? Is to do what?
Delve into Chazal.
No, meaning into their history. Yeah. Let's look at what our great sages did, okay?
Lo nimsa etzlam lo hatalas chobos al b'nei Adam. So they never placed like these chobos on people. Lo kibos mamom li shivos hamarom mos on chobos. And they wouldn't gather money for the high up.
Oh, wait a second. So first of all, a lot of the guys who attacked the Rambam, that it's this premise that they take the task. It's like, what are you talking about? You're saying that historically, that's not true. It's not true. That gets very disturbing. Like having like a historical Mitzias type of locus is not simple. And I'm not here to define. What do you mean?
According to
Rama,
they weren't arguing about
the TSM. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, this notion of competing histories is very disturbing. But putting that to the side, so what does he say? He says, this never happened. Rather what? Rather
there are people who are poor.
Right. That's the key. But every community has poor people,
yeah,
right?
Ashir, Rava, Mama, and Matatas, and there are also people who are very rich. The Khalil al-Hashem, Sha'omar, Shaheem, Lo, Hayu, Guma, Chassad, and Bidosa, and Stop, and there's Khalil al-Hashem,
correct. That's the key thing. And if an Ani would stick out his hand, what would they do? Of course they would give.
Fill his house with gold and precious gems.
Or Aniyim, in general. In other words, you wouldn't have a turning to what do you call it? To the no one wants to be in that state of being an Ani. Rather, what would they do?
They'd
seek out work.
With what they did, and they'd work, whether for a lot or very little.
Right. Okay. It's like, not quite that means, but it's okay. Fine. Ubaz, it's fine. Ubaz the mashal bide b'nei Adam. Right. That's all. Ahol v'atorah b'nasom yizeh. Okay. So what's the first thing he's saying? So, I mean, we don't have anything to define yet. We're about to define the story in Hillel. But what's the first thing he's saying? He's saying that, why is he saying this? What's he trying to do at this point?
To set up the fact that this is something that people just started doing.
More than that.
And it wasn't sanctioned.
More than that. In other words, you definitely had, in other words, like this. You definitely had, if you went to a shul, okay? Let's assume, you would have some Talmidei Chachamim who were taking money, without question. But why were they taking the money?
Because they couldn't get a job.
They're aniyim. In other words, you had a lot of aniyim, and a percentage of them would happen to be Talmidei Chachamim, right? But he's trying to show, because he can't deny that there was such a thing as Talmid Chacham taking money, he would just say the only reason why they would take money is because they were aniyim. So there's nothing to do with their status of being a Talmid Chacham. That's with the fact they're aniyim at this point. Okay, fine. Now let's get to the story of Hillel. So what happened by Hillel? Require data. Okay.
We already know that Hillel Zaken was a wood chopper, and he learned by Shmaya and Natalia.
And he was poor as it could be. We know all the stories about him. Yeah. Umalasso.
Umalasso, he was very, very high up. Adki Talmidov Haim Asher Hushfu and Moshe Yeshua. And his Talmidim were compared to Moshe Yeshua.
The Katan Talmidov. Maskim, Lakabal Menedor.
And don't be, Bardas is not Sufik that he would be Moda that. Well, I forgot what I was saying.
Even if he took money, he would never give up being a wood chopper. Okay. So, what's the Rambam trying to tell us with this story?
That
even the poor is the poor guy.
More than that. So there's an interesting idea there's one line that he's expressing that really, in my opinion, really brings out what the Rambam's trying to get across in this point, because I'm cheating a bit, because this next story is very similar to this one.
That he works as a wood chopper even if he wasn't getting enough money to survive.
More than that. Better. There's a point he's trying to undermine right off the bat. Okay, and I think it's here. I think where he says, V'haya chotev etzim, Viloma if they shmaya v'avtalion, right? And later on he says, Umalaso aki tamidav heim asher hushvul the Moshe v'yeshua v'kan tamidav ram niochen mazake, right?
So you could be a huge and also work.
There you go. So that's the first thing, the point the Rambam was trying to make, which is that don't look at malacha as an impediment. What a person might say is that, well, if a guy's involved in malacha, how's he become a Talmid Chacham? How's that possible? And yet, what was Hillel doing? Hillel was able to do both. Okay. Now again, the guys who attacked the Rambam undermine this story as well. But at this point, in the Rambam's version of the story, he's saying that, what do you see? You see that Hillel was able to succeed even though he's a Chotav Eitzim. So don't look at the idea. There's a person who would have a good argument and say, well, if the Talmid Chacham is Avad Malacha, how's he going to rise to the top? How's he going to be this great gum? Hillel did it. So you can't look at working as an impediment. That's this point. The second story now is the Chanan Medusa. Very limited. Simple diet. Okay. Below Bikesh Bnei Adam. And he never asked some people. Right. So no matter what, that's by the way, the second one's already an idea. That's an important to bring across, which is the source for the concept of schar betala. But what's he saying here? He's saying that what would he do? He'd say, listen,
I could be dying for you, but
I'm going to be. Right. Why? Because I'm losing work.
Yeah.
That's not a problem with taking money.
It's avoiding the negative.
Exactly. So you see, it's not like the money's intrinsically toxic. Okay. Okay, below you. Okay, one second. So what do you say? So what's the point of this story? What is this story telling us?
Which one?
The Hanania story.
The other one's way easier.
Hillel is definitely showing you that don't look at working as an impediment. A guy can succeed at being a Talmid Chacham if he works. What's this one telling you? An example is, here's a guy who's in this tremendously high level. I mean, he's like the guy. The whole world exists for him, right? And if anyone should have asked for money, he should have been someone on that kind of level. And yet, what did he do? He didn't. Okay? So those are the 2 points I think the Rambam's making. First one is to tell you that don't look at work as an impediment. You can become that great Talmud Chacham even though you're working. And the second one is to say that if a guy's on an extremely high level where every opportunity existed for him to take money, he chose not to. Okay? Again, do the other, the Radbaz and others, do they attack the Rambam on this? Of course. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm saying they learn the story differently. Okay? But those are his two main proofs. Okay? Say it again? Okay. All right. Let's go fight there. Okay. Let's go fight there. We still have to answer the main question, which is why is this? Two main questions. Why is this so bad? And what's the tension between the Rambam here and there? We're just getting little points down. Okay. Okay. V'omnam talos. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Right. V'lo yisrael b'nei darim shel elu. Right. That would never happen. Meaning if a guy was on a really low level, it's not like, God forbid to ever say that the people wouldn't help a guy out. Right? Chalil Hashem. Now, I mean, he's painting like a utopian vision. I mean, it's like wild. I mean, yeah, I find that very difficult to fathom. He's painting them out as if like everyone during that era was like on the highest possible level.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's the case, but okay. Right? But they would never tolerate the idea of Anias. How, God forbid. Okay? Let you lots of them there. Right? Okay, guys. Next. The Omnam Taos Elu. But there were times where people were sustained who were Talmid Chachamim, and they weren't necessarily Aniyim.
Yeah, they were impeded in some.
They had physical handicaps. Ozakanim.
Right.
Right. So what's he adding here? What point is he adding here? What's he adding here?
That don't think that we might have meant an overall ban on the Midah Chamiyah.
Correct.
They can only get things for their status of being an Ani or a Balmum.
Correct. There's if they're in a situation like a Balmum or a Zaken, so they automatically default in, they can't do Malacha.
There's no regular person.
Right. Basically. Exactly. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, now that's all telling you why you shouldn't avoid Malacha. Now Rav Yosef Alav HaShalom. Right. No, Shiba'es Yigiyas Evarav.
So the time that his limbs are
doing stuff like carrying logs.
So his lying down will be.
B'masa Etakave, like he's weighed down by it. Hayam Ischamim Guva Below Safek. What happens?
It's
a sort of physiological, like warming up of the body. Vayam Shabech Zev Samechbo, and he praises it. And he's happy about it, right? Vayalibo tov v'manas chalko, and then that's what it leads to a certain like satisfaction with your chelak. Biglav mashahaya etzol malas halistakus. So what's he now? Okay, we said this before. But what's he showing you here? This is the expansion of what he writes in the yad. I mean, I know it's going the wrong chronological order, but
it's a benefit.
Right. So you see, the block is a benefit. Now, what is this benefit? Because this seems to exclude things like attorneys.
Sounds like a physiological benefit.
Like, what does your father do again? He's like a currency guy, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't. He's not doing this.
Dentists,
for sure not.
Dentists have some pushback a little bit nowadays.
Right. You should say that there's a certain. Well, there's a certain idea that a person feels satisfied as a producer, okay? And when you produce something, that leads to some type of contentment, okay? So that's a separate issue about how exactly that works.
Very unideal.
I agree. Doesn't seem right. I agree. However, and certainly in the Yad, he doesn't talk about this. In the Yad, he talks more about like financial security. You know, it's a certain thing that a person like he has to have a menuchas slave when it comes to his financial situation. Fine. But that's not really like, what do you call it? That's also like, I don't want to get into the benefit of work. It's more, I want to get to the main question is, what's the problem with this? Okay, keep going. Now you got an interesting tangent here, okay? Which implies what?
That if they want to get hana from things, that they can, and if not,
I don't know. Meaning what?
Meaning Elisha is like indulgence, and
Elisha was
a benefiter of Torah,
yeah. As he's about to say. V'zeinu domo lezeh klal.
Yeah, v'zeinu domo lezeh klal. Amnam zeh etzli sfuk memisha maybe rayim.
Right, hold v'hum uvor arim makom l'taus. Why? It's so pashut. So, in a sense, he's saying it's so ridiculous he never asked this question. Why? Ki Elisha. So, why is that okay?
Why is that okay?
Yeah.
Seems to be just like a necessary.
One second. He says, "Onam hayam mekabel akibud bilvad." What does that mean?
Where are you looking?
"Onam hayam mekabel akibud bilvad." If you go into Yarfu Yishachad, Ubederach Noseya Vilon Etzlo, Vyokal Etzlo Blaylahu Obiyom. But why is that? Why? In other words, he's saying that what would happen? Elisha would be on the road, right? And a person would say, "Hey, oh, you're Elisha. Come on in. Come to my place. Stay overnight." Now, the reason why they're inviting him over is because he's Elisha. How can he say yes? Because Shmuel, right? Shmuel never went to someone's house. Right. Right.
Someone.
Right.
Awesome.
Right.
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 So you do like Elisha, or you do like Shmuel.
But why would you ever do like Elisha? Aren't you taking advantage, isn't it in some way taking advantage of the fact that you're this important person? You know why that's what they're doing it for you. They're inviting you over, not because of regular Lanzas Sorachim. And I know you're, what do you call it? You're Elisha. Okay. It's a good question. Now that we answer that, well, we still don't know what the problem is yet. So when maybe we get to the core problem, we'll answer this as well. But there's another question to put on the floor. Why is it permissible for what Elisha did? It sounds like based on the Rambam's theory, Elisha shouldn't be able to do it. Okay. Okay, now comes the culmination. It all leads to this. The Lama Arich Bazanyan, that's the giveaway. Like, why am I spending so much time on this?
I mean,
because of this. Yeah.
If we assume the problem with the getting paid, like Ram said, was a chilal, blah, 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 blah. I mean, at least you would see.
And for a Maisenshur is Barbaton. Miss Akish Yase,
okay, so. You know the background story, guy at a vineyard, etc. Let's cut to the chase. So what happened? Okay. Halfway down when it says, Ubar of Tarfon, really?
Which is BJ Hart. Oh.
All right, so Josh, what was the story?
Okay, fine. So guy had a carom. People were stealing from his carom. So he sets things out to dry and to become raisins, and things that fell across the side, he didn't really care about because it was like a little bit of produce, whatever. Okay.
Ubar of Tarfon, Rotarfon.
Yeah. Right. So he sat down and he picked from the reasons that fell and he ate them. And he thought that Rabbi Tarfon was one of the guys who was stealing from him the entire
year. Right.
I am a hero. He didn't recognize him. Aval Shema Shema. He just knew his name. Umeher alav b'tipsho v'hiskaber alav. So he ran to him and he grabbed him and he overpowered him and put him in a sack.
Like this, like one of those, like over the shoulder, right?
And he carried him over the shoulder to throw him into the river. Rabbi Tarfon realized that he was Zog, he cried out, Oy lo Letarko, Chizet Argo, what was to Targo?
Amazing. The Rama, the entire thesis of the Rama is built on this story, which sounds crazy. Because what was he supposed to do? And what is, and it, but he provides an alternate. He says, because Hashem is at Baal Kerem, Hinichu Barach. When the Baal Kerem heard this is Tarfon, what did he do?
He put him down and ran away.
Liodo ki chet gadol. I don't care what the chet of the guy was. The higher of Tarfon, b'sheiris yama me'osa yom do'ev u'milo al masha arolo. B'hatzil nasho b'kabo datara. He couldn't forgive himself for this. He was a wealthy guy. V'hayachal omer lo, hanichini v'ani ashlam l'cha kach l'chadin arim. V'sham lo lo yodiyu hu shehu Tarfon. V'yatzil nasho b'mamono. Lo
b'tara. This guy's worse than Elisha.
Right. Amru kol yomav shelo osa tzadik hayam istar al davar zev omer oylish nishtanti b'kisr shel Torah, etc. I mean, like, what? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's the question you have to ask. Like, I mean, like, was it so bad? Was it really that? We know why learning Torah for kavod is a problem. Why is it no tochayim in olam haba? Because the whole objective, one of the primary objectives of Torah, yes, is about your midos, but even more directly, what you're learning Torah for, what should be the benefit of Torah? One of the primary benefits is Yiras Hashem, because it recognizes who he is vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is supposed to lower your ego. But if you're learning it for the purpose of ego, it's like the ultimate expression of distortion. So ego gratification is a clear tie to the sasha to what the function of Torah is. But would you say that by money? Yeah.
Money sounds more like a...
I think what Gabriel, John, and Josh are all saying, I think that's the overall approach. What you're going to have to say is that if the very... there's one objective of Torah is perfection of your traits, right? Particularly of all the areas is really ego, is really reduction of the ego. So if a guy is motivated to learn Torah for kavod, that's a stira to what the objective of Torah is. How does money provide that same problem? How's money a stira to the objective of Torah if a guy does it for money? Right. So in other words, another objective of Torah is to relate to Torah as a vehicle towards, let's say, the conceptual world, right? But you're using it for physical gratification. It's true a guy may have necessities, right? But that doesn't mean it's not physical gratification, right? And that's the problem. That's a distortion of Torah. To use Torah as a vehicle to physical gratification is on par with using Torah for ego gratification.
That's not a negative, though.
Why is that a negative? Why is it a... I think Bedafka, that's the reason why the Rambam tries to do what?
Lump them together.
Bingo. No, you're right. The Rambam is trying to say treat them as a category, even though you have to say that the fact that he uses kavod in the beginning, right, he uses that one as the main one, implies to me that is the worst one, right? But he's saying, look at kardom as like a... in that terrible paradigm. You know what I mean? Rather than say it's like a... it's like a separate thing. It's part of that negative paradigm.
It's interesting too.
Goes out of his way to demonstrate that he had an option. There's Ram saying he had an option in front of him, which is, what was the option? He could have said what? He could have said... He could have said, listen, I'll pay you. In other words, the option existed in front of him to go ahead and retain his anonymity. He could have done that, and he chose not to. So I'm saying the Rambam is clearly saying that Rav Tarfon had a choice in front of him. That's the key.
The story itself is also interesting. It's a metaphor.
If Rambam presents this as a choice, you're going to have to say that when he related to in that way, there's something... we have to be careful because we're going to be too critical of him, but there's something in there that demonstrated that he didn't really have the ideal relationship to Torah in that way. So that's the...
I assume the fact that he jumped to that instead of money, the Rambam has it.
In Sanhedrin, what the Rambam is saying is that this is basically a transient state, right? And it's necessary in order to get the person on the path of Torah. But the case of Pirkei Avos is in a transient state. What is it? It's an indefinite state. The chol mesim alibo, right? That's why he uses that lashon. The idea in Sanhedrin is transient. It means, what are you doing? You're doing it because it's part of a process. Now, of course, you're right. In an ideal utopian world, what would you say? Of course, you want a kid to automatically be lishma, but that's just not possible. But the point is, it's part of a process. But that's why he uses the term mesim alibo. That's not transient. That means that that's an indefinite concept. It means it's a permanent state of distortion. Okay? The child has a distorted view of Torah. Okay? But we tolerate it only because we know it'll lead to something greater. Okay? But if a guy relates to it in the way of, if he's mesim alibo, that means intrinsically there's a distortion.
What? prevents you from achieving.
Right. It doesn't mean a guy can't say, like, and you see that later on, but that, you know that last paragraph you had a hard time with?
Yeah.
That's a similar concept, which is that it doesn't mean that a guy can't say, like, listen, I recognize you're a Talmud Chacham, right? So, you know, a guy should deny that person's discretion of cover. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Well, that was a great story. So it turns out that Re'avon, so there was a famine, so and he had a lot of money, and he had a lot of food. So what did he do? He opened up the chest of wheat, okay? Velmer. You should jump up and be like, this doesn't make any sense at all. How? Because there's two, what are the problems here? Problem number one is
that his Tanai was the fact that they're a Tanai.
Which means, okay, what? Okay, so. Sounds that way, and even if you want to say it was, and also what is he doing? He's setting him up to be. It's like a lifting Iver because he's going to make them come in, and what are they going to say? Oh, I'm a Talmud Chacham. So he's going to be over. He's going to be over the problem. Ah, but how, what, so what do you have to say?
Who is Rabbeinu
Nasi? Right. So what do you got? How are you going to get out of this? I mean, you have to give some answer here. What would you say? She's 100% correct. I'll go even further than that. I'd say that in a time of famine, right? I'd say you should be supporting the Talmud Chachamim first. You got to be careful. Something. And it's true that the Chacham shouldn't do things because he shouldn't be drawn towards Torah because of Kavod. It doesn't mean that people don't give him Kavod. So the fact is, in society, the Talmud Chacham are on the top of the ladder. So yes, Rabbi Nusi, during a time of famine, he has the right to say, you know what? Says these people are the most important ones in society because of what they do. They should get first dibs on food. Someone has to be first. Okay? Who's going to be first? Talmud Chachamim. So that gets out of that problem. That's why it's such a big deal. So what happened? Lebar of Yodasam ben Amram, but I'm the fun of. Parnasani. So
even though I don't have Chachma, just like Hashem is Nefarnes Chayatamei and Oktamei, be Nefarnes me, because an Amaret isn't any less than these animals. Vinasan Lo, so Rebbe gave it to him.
Now, okay, let me ask you a question. So why did he give it to him?
He got it.
I know, but my question is like this. My question is that if you want to be a little cute about it, you could say, but did he give it to him because he recognized now? I know what's going to happen next in the story, but
now he's like,
this guy's you must be a Talmud Chacham if you work this thing out. I know, but before I went on, I said, to, I was telling Rini, I'm like, I know I was at Tucker. I'm like, but maybe that's why he gave it to him. Maybe he said, you know what? Oh, you're such a shrewd guy. You must be a Talmud Chacham. No, but nonetheless, he got him, right? He got him. He exposed the problem of Yehuda Nasi's approach. Sounds that way, right? Okay, except for one problem. He's charet. He had charato, which means he regretted it. but it sounds like it was a good argument he was making, yeah. Right? So he regretted it. He was very upset that he got bamboozled in this exchange. Vamrulo. Tachbula. The Chacham Matzah, Davar Kain. Okay, so before we get that last line, so what happened? He says, so they told him, listen, what do you call it? It was a big Talmud Chacham. He just wanted to make Nana from Kavatara, right? And what happened? He investigated and realized that makes sense. So what's the Havi and the Maskana? I ask you. That's the real question. What's the Havi and the Maskana here? Was he wrong? I think it's hard to say he was wrong. What's the Havi and the Maskana?
Well, I have been at the mascara.
Right. Yeah.